record this. Hit you. Record. Boom. There we go. It's gonna count down.
Okay.
Studio audience, podcast people, we are preparing our live stream, so we got a little countdown going, but we are starting the Paid in Full podcast.
Yeah.
Hello, Mia. How are you?
I am wonderful.
Good job. Hi.
Hey.
TV. Television. And for the people who are watching the live stream, we're playing our music on the podcast part. So we're going to be doing some double duty. So I'm going to jack up a whole bunch. I already said.
You have to think positively. It's going to be fine.
33.
Greetings. Already seen. Greetings. Thank you for joining us. We are the Paydens. You are now watching and listening to the Paid in Full podcast. We are your hosts, Mia and
Johnny.
Otherwise known as JP. Okay. Yes. Pretty handsome. Look at him. Look. If you are first time viewers and or listeners, we are a millennial couple married with children who discuss relationships through the lens of film and television. So, yay. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Disclaimer and forewarning yes. for the live stream. If it gets cut off after 35 minutes, we did pay our light bill, so that's not going to be it. We're still testing out our video platform, and we only have a certain amount of minutes. Mm-hmm. So people on the podcast may get a little bit longer than the stream, but again, we do pay our bills. We just testing this free subscription till the damn wheels fall off.
There you go. Okay. Like, taking care of our mental health, which is what we are talking about today. Yes, that connect. Hey, guys, did you know that the month of May that we're in now is Mental Health Awareness Month?
I got it.
So, yay, technology.
Y'all forget this PowerPoint presentation.
So today we're going to be discussing exactly what is mental health awareness. Why do we need a whole month to discuss it? Or why do we need a whole month of awareness? And we need a whole year, and we need years after that. So we're going to talk a little bit about what it is. Some of the signs and symptoms of anxiety and burnout. And we'll talk a little bit about my own journey through increased mental health care. Mental health care. There we go. That's a word. Okay. So here we go. On your screen, you see some statistics that collected from our source is the National Council of Mental Wellbeing out of Washington, D.C. In our country, this is very much just for the United States. One in five U.S. adults experience a mental illness each year, one out of five, but only 47% of those adults received treatment in the year 2021. That's one out of five, but only 47% of the one out of five. One out of every 20 U.S. adults have experienced some type of serious mental illness and do so each year, one in 20, and according to the National Council, only 65% of the U.S. adults who experienced a mental illness of a serious nature received treatment in 2021.
Yeah, and I actually think those numbers are lower because coming off of and still being in COVID,
yes,
there were quite a few people who had mental issues that just ignored it. So I think that 65% would be a lot lower as far as the overall total of people who actually sought help.
Yep, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Yeah. One out of every six United States youth have a mental health condition, but only half receive treatment. So we're talking a lot of children out here who are not receiving the mental treatment that they need. 50% of all lifetime mental illness begins by age 14, and 75% of those are by age 24.
Those numbers are off again.
Yeah, it's skewed.
Like I said, the way that the world is right now, mm-hmm. kids.
Yeah,
kids as young as their first memory.
Yep.
Have some type of episode. Mental problems.
Yep, so there's our source there. So it is on their website, readily available for public consumption. So please visit the National Council for Mental Wellbeing for additional information. And they actually also have specific organizations that cater to different populations that can help help you, you know, start a journey on taking better care of your mental health. So, yes, that's our awareness. We're putting awareness out there into the world. Speaking of JP's discussion on, or we started our discussion on the lack of awareness and the lack of acknowledgement, I think is what really impacts the African American community. And I don't know. I can't speak for others. I can only speak for our community. And we are still seemingly having problems with acknowledging that a mental health crisis is what it is. A lot of people in our communities, older people particularly, sort of kind of sweep things underneath the rug and don't really recognize when, or some of them, a lot of them don't necessarily recognize when a crisis needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And I think that just, it carries through generation after generation. And then that creates still that stigma that, oh, you know, it's nothing wrong with him. He just bad. Oh, it's nothing wrong with him. That's kind of how he is. Even though somebody is depressed, anxious, experiencing some type of out of body experience daily, we still see it as something else. And I don't know if we're the only community in the United States that does that, but it's about time that we really start pinpointing how important our mental health really is. And I think in our country, we have this huge obsession with how we look, right? We got our physical well-being is so much higher than our mental. People who experience mental health care crises are seen as crazy, right? And we don't do crazy in our country. Oh, you know, she'll be fine. Just stick her in the hospital. She's okay. However, Ozempic, yeah, you'll look good. Mm-hmm, go do that. And you know, all the medicines that we have in the world that make you slim and trim and cute and make you look good. But in the inside, you know, we're dying. We're stressed out. We have anxiety because we do not acknowledge or fully acknowledge how important taking care of our mental well-being is. That makes sense?
Makes perfect sense to me.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah. So a little bit, I'm going to try to connect mental health care and our relationships. Mm-hmm. So let me see if I can articulate this. Okay. Your mental health care impacts your relationships, not just romantic, but all of your relationships. Your relationships are influenced by your mental health care. Was that straight?
Sure.
So it's a cycle.
Sure.
Right? And it's essential as part of your daily, daily life routine to take some time to be with yourself mentally. So, yeah. I'm trying to put it all together in my
work
mind.
Work this all out.
I'm working it out.
Like
I'm
I said, it's live stream people. You got about 23 more minutes. Podcast people, we can go all day.
That's so right. Oh my gosh. And hilarious.
You continue. I'm going to take the damn hat off. My hat too sweaty. Tight. No, my hat too tight.
Oh, no.
I got to adjust it.
Okay. So,
we good. That shit was cutting on my brain. My brain was starting to beat. I felt my heart beating in my head.
So what was last episode, 43?
I don't know.
Okay, so if you had not tuned into our last episode, we did a, we looked at toxic black relationships in movies and television. And so I kept thinking about, as we went off and I sat and thought about Harper and Robin mm-hmm. some more, I was wondering about Robin. Like, I was wondering about her in terms of her mental capacity, her mental health care, and what exactly they may have been saying in the movie about how she is, I don't want to say mentally, but how she comes across. Get
deeper, because like I said, that's just maybe one of her character icks, but she may have been ADHD.
That's just
the way that she jumped around career to career and was kind of flighty uh-huh. in her decision making.
Oh, big time. And then, of course, we saw click that. We saw how that impacted her. that right there. We saw how that impacted her relationship mm-hmm. and her marriage and her motherhood and her their divorce. So that's a really good example of how some type of mental condition can erode down in your relationship. Because she was really, really
that, and being the outside, being the outsider in the friend group, because Harper did have some, let's just say it, some bougie ass, uppity ass.
Friends.
Rich
friends. They have some money.
And you are kind of you're kind of like just this regular person. So that kind of there's pressure within that of imposter syndrome. Are you good enough? And then you try to cater to what they for their approval.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think they said that they addressed that in the first in the first movie too. She was like, you know, I know he has these friends. I don't know if I can really be who he wants me to be. So yeah, they did.
There you go.
I think we have guests coming down the stairs for the second episode
They're not going to let us be great. They are really trying to get their daddy to spend some money on a real studio.
So yes, but that's one of many examples I think we have. If we take a look really deeply at some of our couples in television, we'll see that how sometimes those mental health care things can negatively impact. It's always negative. We don't see him in the movie, Harper. We didn't see him saying that she has an issue. He was just always like, this is just who she is. Y'all know, you know, Robin is this person. So, same thing with, we talked about, let's see, we had Gina Martin. I was thinking of someone else too. I know I'm doing the poetry snaps.
Still ain't chopped the mic yet.
Because the mic is up high today.
We good.
So I'm learning. It's a
learning experience.
That thought is gone. Keep going. that thought.
Let's get to you then.
Okay.
Let's get to the real life stuff.
Yeah. So I am, let's see, what do I want to start? How do I want to start this? I am who a lot of people deem a happy person, right? Happy people. You never see a happy person sad, right? There is a very popular, a meme out that says, check on your happy friends. And I did put it up once and got nothing. Like, nobody checked on me. So anyway,
I liked
have,
it. I hearted
I know
it.
You did. I know. I know.
I hugged you.
Yes. So I have, I've been going through my own, mental health care journey that I want to kind of share with our audience and sort of get JP's feedback on the process. And because I'm sort of, I wouldn't say I'm in the back of mine, but I'm past a lot of the emotions that I had going into taking better care mentally of myself, taking care of myself mentally. Mm-hmm. So let's see, where's our story? My story begins in 2022. Around October of 2022, my number one way of coping with stress was emotional eating. And I did that increasingly, and I'm still an emotional eater, which I'm working through. The second thing that I started noticing within myself, because I had to really sit down and be like, what signs that I have, was increased irritability, not only to just people who I worked with, people I saw every day, but to my husband and my children. I became really bitchy and snippy, and it would come and go, and I couldn't control feeling snippy. And so that increased irritability, that emotional eating, I had a feeling of like overwhelm, like everything was overwhelming me, but it wasn't anything that I could name. It wasn't like, hey, JP is overwhelming me. Being a mother was overwhelming me. It was just everything overwhelmed me. Mm-hmm. And then sleep. I started losing sleep. I have anxiety. But my irrational anxiety started kicking up real hard. And JP doesn't know like the extent of
What's irrational anxiety?
Versus like regular anxiety. Yes. So regular anxiety is sort of a feeling of overall nervousness, like uneasiness. Not necessarily something bad's going to happen, but things are not good. Like something is off. And it's not really easy to sort of kind of put it into one solid definition. But for most people, I think it's just something's quite wrong. Something's not good, if that makes sense. Irrational anxiety is when you start thinking that things are going to happen to you that are beyond, that are it's not a believable.
Unreasonable.
Like, that's kind of
like a train coming through your living room, even that, though you like, we 60 have no miles tracks away from the train.
Boom. There you go. Unreasonable, unimaginable.
The birds talking crazy about you.
Yeah. And they don't. I'm sorry. They talk about me. So, yes. That's irrational. Irrational is what it is. It has no rationality. And irrational anxiety pops in very randomly. Okay. So, from my knowledge, I have had anxiety since about around the time I was 7 or 8. That's how long I've kind of dealt with it. Mm-hmm. And the way I've been able to kind of get myself through each day is get really good grades, right? I'm a people pleaser. So if my parents were proud of me, I'm good, mm-hmm, right? Of course, I'm a nail biter. So I've been biting my nails since I was pre-K. I'm a nail biter. I'm really horrible. JP's been talking to me about that for 19 years. So that's kind of the way I got. And then college, I developed a fear of flying based on our very first experience. I flew here to go visit college. It was very turbulent. It was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Now I'm scared of flying. So my anxiety increased, right? My little baby anxiety was like, boom. And then as I met JP and became a mother, it's just events have made my anxiety much bigger. And then JP probably noticed how I talk a lot about things that I fear. And mm-hmm, he probably noticed like I'm always scared of something, like
red drinks.
Yeah. I don't know.
Red drinks make her hyper.
I don't know why.
That's
sitting. I don't know. And it's probably things I've heard, things I've taken from here and here, pushing together. Ooh, look, there's a conclusion there. Mm-hmm. Any little thing. So all of that is to say I've dealt with it for a while. And it wasn't until 2022 that I was actually like, you asked me, You did it. You were like,
I did it.
Do you need to see somebody? And he asked me point blank. I think that was the night I would think I was in the bed and I was like happy, 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 crying. And I don't remember why. It was just, no, I'm just so, yeah. And JP was like, do you need to see somebody? And then I was like, do I need to see somebody? And so that started my little search for a counselor. Like, I was like, you know what? It wouldn't hurt. I talk a lot. I could talk to her and see what she comes up with, right? There's nothing wrong with me. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happily married. I'm happy. I'm a happy mommy. There's nothing wrong with me. Just every now and then, I eat a whole lot of food for no reason. And, you know, I go snippy on JP or I go shut down. And he's like, what's wrong with you? And I don't have an answer. I'm just, I don't know, maybe it's PMS. I don't know. So yeah. What made you, what made you ask me that at that time?
I've been with you 19 years, so, and I can sense when there's levels to my concern for you. Hi, hello, sir. But yeah, there are like levels that I have as far as my concern for like your mental well-being. Like some things I can just kind of just brush off because I know it may be like that time of the month or something, or it may be something stressing from work that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what's going on in the household. So I guess whatever that particular trigger was at that time, that's what prompted me to kind of like a almost like a DEFCON reading as far as making sure that you're okay.
Yeah. And I talked about that in, I don't know, one of many therapy sessions, how essential it is and how so much easier it is to have somebody near you who you know they support your journey. I think I became involved in an anxiety group, and the young ladies there were very, wonderful and excited for me that I had JP to look out for me, because one of the things that we experience in the world of anxiety is mountains. So every now and then there's a mountain in front of you and you don't know where the mountain came from. It's just, whoo, there's a mountain and you are barreling towards it at, 600 miles per hour. And they say, if there is a person there who slows down your train and says, hey, whoa, 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 come on down, you don't go crashing to the mountain, right? Otherwise, we go full smash into it. Everything goes crazy. Now you're really having a mental health crisis. So I have not had a mental break. That's what people call them, because I have my husband to be like, hey, we need y'all. We need you. Okay. Like, your kids need you. You need to get together. So I had therapy. I went through my therapy sessions. The very first one, it was sort of one of those get to know you. It was awkward. Like, you go through the motions. It's awkward as all get out to just talk to somebody on the computer who I didn't know, but she was very, instantly very, understanding. And really just asked me about random things. She was like, hey, tell me about college, right? Tell me about your roommate in college. How do you feel about having gone to an all women's college? She just answered. She made questions based on what I said. I found myself the very first session, I was crying and I don't even remember why. It was something dealing with college and friends and how all of my friends kind of moved away and I was, still here, and I didn't understand why I wasn't friends with them anymore. I just got ghosted, and it was like I was barreling, crying. And she was like, okay, like it's all right. Cry. It's fine. So like the long story short, when I was started going through my therapy, I was able to have somebody see things for me that I could not see for myself. So things that JP had been saying for years, having somebody else outside of my marriage say the same thing my husband's been saying was like an eye opener. Because she was like, hey, taking care of your babies and taking care of your husband and your house has to include taking care of yourself. Like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be taking care of you, because you want to take care of them. You can't take care of them if you're not taking care of you. And I was like, you know what? JP's been saying that. Yeah, but it sounds true when you say it, right? Not to say that JP, I didn't believe him, but I know. But it sounds different when it's like, oh, that's what he's been saying. Yeah. And it helped that she was a woman of color. We're around the same age. She's a mom. Like, my therapist, we had a lot in common. So I was able to really open up and talk to her in like a friend kind of way. Mm-hmm. And she able to ask me questions, and she never said anything. She never diagnosed me, because we talked about OCD and how I have some compulsive issues. We talked a lot about my anxiety, work-life balance, but she never said, you have work-life balance issues. You have generalized anxiety. She just asked questions. So she was like, you know, how do you feel about this? And how do you want to do that? And we were able to come up with those conclusions and set some coping things so that I can better take care of myself mentally.
Very cool.
So, yeah. So that's my little story, you know, all the little things. Is my child still behind us?
No, he's gone.
Okay.
He's gone.
So yeah, I am a proponent of therapy if it works for you. I know a lot of Black people essentially are now. Some people are still like, about therapy. Some people are like, hey, I have a therapist. They are great. I know that if I need to go back, I can go back and pursue and talk and get back into it. Right now, I do my coping every day. Excuse me. My little strategies. I'm a visual person. So I have my visuals up at work. You don't get to see them because you're not at work, but I have my signs that I am going into an anxious moment. So I try to be like, okay, that's that. So don't do that. Mm-hmm. Get out of there. You are procrastinating because you're stressed. When you're stressed, you get anxious. Don't do that. Don't procrastinate. Go. So I have certain things that I've been taught to be sure that, again, I'm taking care of my mental health. Right. And you said something powerful. COVID. A lot of us, you want to put it out there, everybody on earth, we've had some type of traumatic response to COVID.
That affected everybody.
Everybody on the globe. And people don't even know that what they're experiencing is a mental crisis. Like, we all survived. Right. Because millions of people died. We survived. And it's like, whoa, wait, what just happened? Yeah,
millions of people died. You could not mourn properly. Mm-mm. There was in some cases you didn't even get a chance to properly bury your loved ones.
Yeah. And that's hard. In some cultures, you know, the burial is a big part of life. And it's almost like you couldn't go through the process of allowing and guiding your loved ones to the next, you know, the next realm. And that's a lot. Like, we went through it. We lost some family members that we had to have a 15-person funeral for everybody spread out. Right. It was a lot.
Physical interaction, just interaction with other people, it kind of just shut down. So that creates an anxiety in itself. Cause now you learned how, like, nasty people are. So you automatically are kind of reserved when you interact with people now.
Yeah. Thinking about people who were locked in with people they don't really like. Mm-hmm. Now you in the house together all day. Everybody's working on a computer. That's another, like, level to it. You know, people who not very good at computers had to suddenly learn how to do Zoom meetings all day. eyesight shot. Everybody got glasses now because we all in the computers. It was a lot, right? And we were locked in with our babies. And Drew and Jai, they were little. Jaima was in pre-K. Mm-hmm. And I had to put her. I was teaching online. JP was kind of hybrid because you were still going out and coming in, but you were working a lot on the computer. Drew Bear was in first grade on the computer. Jai had her pre-K. And JP, I always talk about this. JP would not let us go. We would not to leave the house. Like, JP was like our sacrifice. He was like, I'm going to go to the store. Y'all stay here. And that's what we did for months. I think the first time we went out was May, because I think we went to my sister's. And we went out of state, but we stayed in the car and went straight there. But that. Me as a wife, I was like, my husband is going out every day exposing himself to COVID because it's outside in the air. I don't know if he's going to come back and bring it to the house. And even with us, like, we were like wiping down. I was wiping groceries down and changing his clothes in the garage and stuff. Even with that, it was just another layer. It was so many layers. And even now, we wouldn't even know, even in 2024, how much that impacted us. Right. As a globe, we don't know, because a lot of people, we bounce back in like it never happened. And that is disturbing. We just kept going. No one said, hey, everybody, think about your health care. Let's look at some things. Let's work out some stuff. No, we just acted like, you know, 2022 rolled over, 23 rolled over, 24. So that's another thing to think of. Mm-hmm. And how important that is. So. Long story short, ways to acknowledge and take care of your mental health. First one, we hear this a lot, but it's different for people. It's different for different people. First thing we need to do is and do what's called self-care, right? But self-care now is like such a buzzword that we don't even know what it is. So for me, and I want to hear about you, babe, my self-care right now has begun to be quiet, because I'm an educator. It's loud, loud, loud. I come home, I'm mommy. It's loud, loud, loud. When I experience quiet, where I can actually hear myself think and hear myself read, it's part of my self-care that I have to have every day. Sometimes it's just driving home with no music on and just listening to the cars and other people's cars around me. That's part of my self-care every day. Mm-hmm. What do you do for yourself? Because yours is the opposite.
I learned no.
Ooh. Boundaries.
Boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've just kind of been always just kind of always looking to accommodate
yeah.
others.
Yeah.
And sometimes that came at the risk of what I had going on, and it affected me.
Mm-hmm.
So just saying no.
Yeah.
Has been my biggest thing, and just having a better respect for my time.
Mm. And that's also important too, because you work from home. So that boundary setting between being at work and being able to cut off and tell people I'm not picking up the phone after a certain time, that's still a thing for me, is still learning that, respecting that time. And then I think another one is just saying it, right? Like pinpointing what it is. For me, anxiety comes, so we're for humans, right? Our body, inside of our brain, we have this little tiny, it's like a blue bulb, like a little button. It's called our amygdala. There's actually two of them. That little tiny amygdala impacts your entire being. Anxiety, you can feel through your body. It's a physical thing. So it creates anxiety and it triggers your brain to say, hey, fight or flight, right? So your amygdala, it sets off sensors that says, hey, you about to fight. And you like, oh, for real? What we about to do? We about to fight? We about to fight? And every few minutes, your brain says, hey, you about to fight? Hey, you about to fight? And you're just like standing up on all, you know, all fours like a cat waiting to fight. And so that's what that does. So acknowledging that and learning about your body and saying, hey, this is what this thing is doing. I got to breathe so that my body can calm down. No, I'm looking at that. So I got to breathe so that I'll know, you know, I've got to calm down. That's part of self-care as well. So,
I got you. Yeah. All right. So this is where we're going to shut it down for our video streamers. We're going to continue on our normal podcast. But again, we're going to have to work out something in the budget, but we should be good going forward where we can record unlimited going forward. But like I said, this has been a good trial run for us. So I hope that you guys really enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm.
Peace. Hi, my podcast people. We are resetting right now.
Reset.
So we're going to have section two of the Pay the Pool podcast going on, baby. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes, this is an adventure you guys are joining us on. This is what's called grassroots. So, you know, hey, we're going to be all right. One day, we're going to laugh at this. We're going to be like, remember when we used to be able to, when we had the bloop, bloop, bloop? Yeah. There you go.
So now this is like Paid in Full after dark. Now we can do the cussing.
I know, right?
Can cuss and say bullsh.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
We've been talking about ways that we can better take care of ourselves. So, yeah. I like that you said saying no. What do you do to separate, like, being a husband and a dad and a professional person? And how do you, because it seems as if you're much, much easier at compartmentalizing your different parts of life. Mine's kind of feel like they all smash together all the time. So, well, how do you keep your husband part here and your dad part there and your professional part over here? Do you have any specific way that you do that? Because I am at a loss as to how to keep mine apart.
I'm a guy, so I'm able to put everything into a box.
Lucky. Oh, man.
I have a great respect and appreciation for all aspects of it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I take being a husband very seriously. One of my greatest joys is being a father. And then I actually have a boy and a girl, so that gives me more compartments.
Mm.
I can do different things with Drew than I can with Jai, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Did I say vice versa?
That's fine.
Vice versa. Pastor Troy.
Yes.
And then I'm getting to a point where I'm able to get, it's not necessarily a singular business that I have right now, mm-hmm. but the skills that I'm learning and the free time that I have as far as the work that I'm doing right now is giving me leeway to focus on things that I'm going to do in the future. So okay. Right now I don't have any like negative things going on. So mm-hmm. the things that I have going on in my life right now at this point is how I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to put them in boxes because I appreciate them all, and I try to foster those relationships as best as possible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ain't he just great, y'all? Boy, I'm telling you, I got a good one. So I'm it's funny because they say opposites attract. I am still learning. I've been in my career now for 6 years, and I always kind of I don't know if I want to say fuss at myself, but I do. About whether I'm able to continue to properly separate work and home. It's one of my burdens to bear. It's kind of what they say, it's your cross to kind of pull, that it's difficult as an educator, and you're married to an educator, to completely turn off work.
Oh yeah.
At home.
Oh yeah, that's a thing.
It's
a thing.
And it's because of my particular style of planning. I lesson plan or I have ideas all the time. I have a very active imagination. I see things and it's instant inspiration for something. And now ChatGPT does not help, because if you did not know, educators of the world, you can pretty much ask ChatGPT to create a lesson based on a concept that you're teaching and it will pop it out. So all day I'm like, my students are going to be working on this. So let me see what ChatGPT comes up. And then you're just in a rabbit hole. So that's, you know, something I'm working on. Mm-hmm. Completely. And that's, again, that's going to be continuing to be part of my self-care. Here's something else that I want to kind of put out there that I want to applaud my husband for. This most recent, a couple weeks ago, I told JP that I am feeling anxious, right? And it's not just like every day, my daily generalized anxiety, is because I know the difference between them. I feel like my burnout was creeping up. And so I literally was like, babe, I am going through something and I'm getting ready to go through something. I need a break. I told him I need a break, like, period. And I think because we are close and we know what each one is thinking almost before the other, I think he understood that me taking a break meant from just basically from life a little bit without going too far away. Right. So JP immediately, without my knowledge, booked me a hotel room at a really cute hotel, by the way, where I was able to kind of, I was able to go.
Give it in. Up for me.
Yay. So I was able to check in. I had, you know, my it was a little room. It was all I needed. I literally set, I played with the air conditioning a little bit to get the temperature right, because I am a cold person by nature. I was able to sit and meditate, and I watched the weather channel, because there was a lot of tornadoes in Oklahoma. I was like, oh, this is terrible. Perspective. Wow, look, that could be you. And I was, I rode around, I went to Target. Like, I was able to sit with myself in quiet, because quiet now is part of my self-care. And so I want to thank my husband formally live on the interwebs for giving me that experience, because I don't get to sit with myself. I am often around adults or children every single moment of my life up until the moment I go to sleep. And it is a lot. I am a magnetic person. So I magnetize the teacher down the hallway. I magnetize babies who I don't teach. They come running up to me all day. Ooh, wipe germs on me. I magnetize my kids all day. They want to run ideas by me. And I'm the center of my house. So I have to, we have to figure out, you know, dinner through the lens of what I need. And, you know, do we need to go to the store? And do we need to, it's a lot. It's 50,000 decisions a day. And that's not a lie. That is not even an exaggeration. Just a teacher, 50,000 thoughts a day. It's exhausting. So, and it's good for my mental health care. And JP knows this, for me to be able to hear myself and to read a book. Right. Mm-hmm. So I am thankful for him for doing that for me. I don't have a plan. Like, people are like, oh, do you do it like every 2 months, every 3 months? I'm like, I don't plan it. Like, it's just whatever I'm feeling. In the summer, it's a lot easier because I'm not actively teaching, but I know that it's going to crank back up, and I can tell my husband and he can help alleviate a lot of that stress. Yeah. So that's really nice. So there's an idea. And when I put it out, like, on the internet, people are like, oh, that is a really good idea. It works for me. And that, it might not work for everybody. Like, I don't know if I can go to, Florida by myself and not be bored or be sad that my family is back in Georgia. I don't know how far away I can get without adding. Like, I don't know how my anxiety is going to act if I get too far away from them, but I know going down to Atlanta was okay. So that's where I'll start. And then I can communicate with my husband what I need. And because he cares about me and really genuinely wants me to take care of myself, he's able to help me out. And we're financially in a better place to be able to help.
Know that.
With that too. So yes. Can they hear that music?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's all strictly right. On the.
So yes. I don't know. We've got any
actually,
other.
Actually, they can.
Oh, okay. Beautiful.
No, we took care of that.
Hey, there you go. let's see. Any other mental health coping strategies, stress relievers that you can think that work for you? I think video gaming is something that you use to kind of balance as well, which is not a bad thing. I encourage him to video game.
Letting go. Yeah. Letting go.
Yeah.
Relationships, because like I said, I've gotten a lot more clarity after I, like, took a step back on some of the like relationships and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was almost like a panic on my side to try to make sure that everybody was cool and mm-hmm. what would happen if I didn't be if I couldn't be Superman and take care of and give and all that stuff. And I just had to actually let go of the reins and say no, take a step back and see what happens. And
mm-hmm.
it's everything is still going perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And it's been a tremendous help to my mental, just cutting some of just the bullshit out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Cause again, some people are just always going to be involved in drama, and
mm-hmm.
that's just how they're going to, that's just how they roll. So you just got to just let them be, but you do have to protect your mental and stuff like that. And just take that step back.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That reminds me of something that my therapist told us, and we had several sessions about it. She said there's a couple of different people and what they can do. There's people who will not do what you want them to do, and there's people who cannot do what you want them to do. And that the people who will not, you will not be able to ever have them act the way you want them to act. You don't, they're, if they're not there for you, they will not be there for you. That is just their willpower. That's their decision making. That is what it is. The people who cannot, there's some type of mental barrier, physical barrier, something that is keeping them from being who you want them to be. So I had to learn that one, like, okay, maybe this is a will not or cannot situation that I cannot control. Because that circle of control is real, y'all. And unfortunately, every day people get on the internet to try to control others. And that brings you more stress and more anxiety and more mental distress. So that's something to keep in mind as well. But I like what you said, babe. That's
word.
I like
word.
So there you go. Mental health care, please. First thing, hey, say that we are all traumatized, right? If you are a person of color in this country, you are traumatized. If you are a woman, you are traumatized. If you are a survivor of COVID, you are traumatized, and it's okay. There's a lot of us out here, and we're just trying to make it. So I think acknowledgement first is what you need to do, because a lot of us don't have a lot of self-awareness, but honey, JP and Mia do. And we know, hey, we need each other to be healthy.
Well,
and
I secretly taught you something. Look at you. You don't even know it.
What I do, bae?
You're doing the principles of AIM.
You
did. You just said the first one. Acknowledge.
Acknowledge. Oh, yay. Well, acknowledge. Yes, it's important.
Acknowledge, improve, maintain.
There you go. I was going to go there. I was like, yeah, seek out some support. Look, it's okay to not have support from the people closest to you. It's fine. We make families every day. We have villages that help us raise our children. You can seek support elsewhere. There are great, you know, groups online that you can go to talk to. And if they're genuine and there to help you, honey, get on that computer and be like, y'all, I need some help. Just help me, baby, because I am having a rough time in life. And then seek out some mental health care. Now, I know the expense of it. Please believe most insurance companies do not pay for your mental health care, and they should, but they do not. And I have state insurance and couldn't get, let me not go there. Anywho, but try to do what you can do, right? There's so many companies out there now that you can talk to, you can go online, you just go and seek out what you can and do what you can. Otherwise, there's free support around. You just kind of got to dig. And then be consistent, right? Consistently take care of you. I am still working on my consistency, but there's a couple of things I do every morning that I look forward to now, like prayer. I go through before I start the day and before I like start up my car. The Lord has me on, you know, speed dial. So me and the Lord talk for a bit and then I go and do my day. And that makes me feel like stronger and that I can tackle what may come. So find your sense of self and be consistently dedicated to your well-being.
Yeah, and sometimes you just got to call a motherfucker a bleach blonde, bad built, butch body.
Oh, come on, alliteration. He did it. Yeah. Because, man, boy.
Sometimes you just got to call him out.
Just say. And she ain't even called a lady that. She just said, but what if I said it? Would that not constitute a personality? Yeah, I mean, isn't that one? He was so confused. So, you go, girl. So there you go. So take care of you, everybody. You know, May, Mental Health Awareness Month. Google it. Information pops up. Information is at the palm of our hands. Do what you need to do, right? Because we need you here. Like, for real. Your babies need you. Your spouses need you. Your family needs you. Friends need you. You are needed. So you need to take care of yourself, even if it's a tiny thing. Even if it's, I don't want this sandwich or this salad I packed. I want Popeyes. Go get you some Popeyes. Like, it is what it is. But just take care of yourself. Right? That's important. Mm-hmm. So anything lasting, babe?
No, that was it.
Okay. So that was it. Thank you for viewing and or listening to the Paid in Full podcast. We will be back with another episode. We are available on all social media platforms, Paid in Full Pod. So go visit. We put up pictures and random stories about our family, especially on the Facebook. So go and visit us.
Peace out. Let's make King Willonius famous. He's killing these parodies.
He won't get taken off his platform.